Hello and welcome to The Soapbox, the first episode of who knows how many, hosted by myself, Andrew Pratt, a pastor, and Darren Pratt, a pastor at Wurunga Adventist School as well. And we want to talk about today a topic that's reached probably a critical point in our society at the moment, and that is the issue, and I'm going to say it's the sexualization of girls and women, which is kind of contributing to it, but it's become not really just a issue affecting women, it's affecting our whole society at the moment. So today, as we're recording, it's the 1st of September, and this morning a story broke first off in the Daily Telegraph regarding Knox Grammar. I didn't get to listen to everything. I don't know about you, Dad, what you got to listen to of that, but that story was kind of shocking. I read a couple of bits about it, and basically these boys have been talking about in a private group chat all kinds of things regarding women, rape, racist content, anti-Semitism, and from some of the stuff that I read, basically things that are of a criminal nature, including expressing wishes to have sex with younger people as well, from what I could read. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I'm quite concerned. What I want to say is this is just another school. We're not picking on one school.
No.
It seems to come up quite regularly in our papers, and this is one of our sandstone schools on the North Shore of Sydney, where concerned citizens came across this online discussion and referred it to the police, and they're currently investigating. And there's some quite serious criminal allegations in some of this discussion around the topics you talked about. And some say, oh, boys will be boys, but this, I think, goes beyond that. And I think there's a number of things playing into this, which is causing this Lord of the Flies, but as you said, probably what you call rape culture, misogynistic culture, and racist culture to be found amongst our kids.
Yeah, and it's something that has been playing out for a while. I know that my wife's a teacher, Michaela, and Mum's a teacher as well. We've got a number of teachers who are family members, and a lot of the teachers have also been speaking to, have been expressing the same thing, is that young people are, and kids as young as 12 and 11 are coming across and are talking in such a way that is, its only word is misogynistic. And in fact, according to the definition of sexual harassment that Melinda Tankard-Reist is using from Collective Shower, it crosses that barrier to sexual harassment in terms towards teachers and other young people as well. So this is, it's a snowballing effect in school land of kids that have been exposed to whatever content it is, and they've taken it on as fact because they just don't have a filter. And I think social media is something that is absolutely playing into it at the moment. And I'm going to say the name Andrew Tate as well. He's one of the names that's being thrown about in collaboration with this. What are your thoughts around all of that at the moment?
Yeah, I think Andrew Tate, as you mentioned, been in the news lately. And those don't know, he's what he calls himself, a social influencer on TikTok and other social media apps. And Andrew Tate's probably just one of what we're going to see more and more of this happening going forward. He was able to know how to use the TikTok, we call it algorithms, to make sure that people found him, especially boys, and found his page and found what he was saying. And yeah, if you just as a parent want to just Google his name and see what he's on about, I think you'll be quite disgusted as to what he's actually encouraging, particularly boys, to do. He wants them to really come back against what we call the Me Too culture, which has been around the last couple of years, where women have found a voice to speak up and say, hey, this is not okay. And people like Melinda Tank and Reist and Collective Shout and others have been going around to schools saying, hey, it's not okay the way we're treating our girls. Well, he's speaking out against that, and he's encouraging boys to say, hey, it's okay to be a male. It's okay to be dominant. It's okay to hit women. It's okay to abuse women. It's okay to do this to women because you're being a boy.
It goes a lot further than that as well. And I might just give a bit of a background there is that Andrew Tate used to be a kickboxer for Britain, United Kingdom. And over the past 12 months, he's grown a significant following. He actually no longer has any social media account whatsoever.
Yeah, thankfully he's been kicked off, but
he's been
last
kicked
week
off,
or so.
but he never had a TikTok account, but videos of him in podcasts and all kind of stuff was shared and viewed by more than 12.6 billion people on TikTok.
That's bigger than many
Well,
countries.
sorry, there's 12.6 billion views on that. So he's got a fairly hefty influence, and he actually runs basically a get rich quick scheme that people pay, like, I think it's $45 to get onto it, and they get affiliate and they get 10% of whatever people they invite. So it's basically a multi-level marketing or a pyramid scheme that
It's
he
been around
uses.
for donkey's years, that sort of
Yeah, so
scheme.
that sort of stuff. But he's used that to actually influence all of these boys, and these boys almost hero worship him. And they basically just believe anything that he's saying. But it's not just him. There's this sort of attitude has been around for quite a while, this dehumanizing attitude. And this whole thing that we're facing right now, I don't think that it's a new thing, but I think that it's something that we do need to deal with because it's reached a crisis point, as the Knox Grammar situation is just one example of it reaching a crisis point. So what's going on at the moment, really?
I think there's a few things playing into this, Andrew. And number one is that most of our kids have access to a mobile phone, a smartphone. In fact, I know of families where young kids, like kids in year 7 and 8, are pressuring their parents to buy them a smartphone because all the other kids have one. And this is right from, as I said, year 7, 8, and even in primary school, where they're encouraging kids to not just get a phone, but a smartphone. And as parents, we need to realize that when we buy our kids a smartphone, we are literally putting a drug into our kids' hands. And if you doubt that, then read, for example, a book by an Australian well-known writer and researcher, David Gillespie, who wrote the book a couple of years ago, Teen Brain. It's still a bestseller in our bookstores. And he looks at what's happening in the teen brain and actually how we are wiring our kids for addiction from a very early age, and literally placing a drug into their hands.
So, it's a pretty extreme space a lot of kids are operating in. There's kids, from my experience, between the age of 10 and 12 that have access to every social media platform. That are utilizing things like Snapchat to communicate with one another, which, if you don't know what Snapchat is, it's been around for quite a while, but basically it allows you to send messages to one another, and those messages will disappear after a certain set period of time. Kids are on TikTok, which is basically an endless feed of videos, and kids are on all kinds of other social media platforms at the moment where they're being bombarded with information that their minds aren't ready to consume.
You're
And
spot on, Andrew. If your kid has a mobile phone, you can almost guarantee they're accessing this stuff. Say, oh, no, not my kid. My kid's a good kid. Well, kids these days know how to hide chats and how to hide what they're looking at from their parents. So you walk up with your child and they know how to flick from one screen to the next, and they know how to embed chats in other apps so that you'll have trouble finding what they're actually into online. They're very good at hiding it. If your child has access to a phone or an iPad or similar in their bedroom or the bathroom, it's a very dangerous combination.
And I was reading this just recently that the average age of exposure to things like porn is now 8 for boys. So all of this stuff is happening at quite a young age. And if we think about back to when the current generation of parents were young, whilst the internet now we can actually say was around a few years ago, we couldn't. It wasn't like it is today, where everything is so readily accessible. And I think all of this has snowballed into a space where our kids are pushing boundaries, but there's nowhere for that boundary to stop.
And pushing boundaries is very normal for these kids, especially as they get up into their early teen years. That's a natural part of growing up. But as you said, Andrew, these boundaries have been pushed in really unfortunate and really hurtful ways, not just to those that are being discussed online, but also to those that are doing it. And boys and girls are taking their sexual script from what they're seeing online. And it's not what you'd call soft porn, which is what you may see when you go on looking at Playboy bag or similar in the news ages in years gone by.
And
This is.
they're not in news agents anymore, by the way. It's all
Oh,
online.
right. Okay. Well, these are your violent porn. It's choking and hair pulling and name calling and this is where our kids are taking their sexual script from. And so that we have young girls turning up to counselors' offices who literally have a really abusive, horrible, hurtful story to tell from a very young age, and it's not pretty.
Well, if we just look this week in the media, I don't know if you saw the article that came out yesterday, which said that 50, more than 50% of females at the in the age of 20 or the 20s age bracket have experienced sexual violence. So more than 50% of Australian girls in that age bracket have experienced sexual violence, and I think we're only going to see that increase, not to be a doomsayer, but because it isn't just now porn; it's that people are having influencers like Andrew Tate say to them, "Hey, this is the way that things should be. You should be able to control your girlfriend, and you do own her. And if you want to have sex with her, you can just take it. And if you want to control her, you can just do that." And that's the kind of messaging that these people are getting, no matter how great the home environment they're in. This is what they're hearing.
It right. It's not just Andrew Tate and what he's saying. It's things like even the gaming the kids are into these days. There's some really and it's pretty hard for I mean, you look at videos. They have a rating system that works pretty well. In the gaming system, it seems to be that grandmas, especially and grandpas, ignore the rating and oh, Grand Theft Auto, that's a car game. Let's play that for our grandkids, not realizing that rape and pornography are part of what's in that game. And now it happens in real time. And what about heavy metal music? The words that kids listen to heavy metal music. And so gaming, heavy metal, what they're viewing on YouTube, what they're seeing on TikTok, they're being hit with this stuff from multiple multimedia angles. And yeah, as the Bible says to be religious, as the Bible says, as a person thinks, so are they. And so this is playing into how their brains, according to Andrew Gillespie, I mean David Gillespie, are literally being wired, and the teenage years is when there's a lot of synaptic pruning occurring, and the brain's actually being hardwired for what it needs to use. And if this is what they're being fed on, then yeah, unfortunately, it hardwires them to think this way, hardwires them for porn addiction, hardwires them for this sort of thinking, hardwired for gaming addiction, if you like, or even social media addiction. And it's not a pretty picture at the end of that.
So what, I know that you're a chaplain in a school at the moment. What kind of behaviors is all of this experiencing, or all of, I'll rephrase that. What kind of behaviors are kids now coming out with that are different from what they were before, and what are teachers facing, that parents may not be completely aware of? Because I know from my experience with my wife being a teacher, parents are often not even, they got no idea sometimes what their kids have been up to. And it's actually a shock when they realize the sorts of behaviors, the at times deviant behaviors that their kids have been engaging in. Like what are you seeing? What are teachers seeing at the moment?
Yeah, in talking to teachers generally, and as you said, we're both married to one, so we do hear some of this, but it goes beyond that for friends of a lot of their friends and other people as well in the teaching industry. And indeed, things like, well, it never happened in my time at school, but boys especially coming in and what they call sexual moaning noises, where they all come in and sit down and start to make these sexual moaning noises, simulating what it means, what sex might be like they've seen on pornography. And this is in front of our female teachers.
And the other kids.
And it's very distracting, very off-putting, and if you like, it's what you'd call, as you said, almost a form of assault
Well,
if you're.
it does actually fall under the definition for sexual harassment. Any of those things does fall under the definition. So these are people that may, I'd hope that they know better, but I'm actually thinking they may not fully understand the effect of their actions because of the world in which that they're living at the moment.
And it's not in high schools, happening in primary schools as well.
Yeah.
And these are little kids, as you said, 6, 7, 8, that don't quite understand what they're doing, but it seems cool to do, so they're doing it anyway. And so yeah, it's a bit of a Lord of the Flies type thing, or a culture of honor to be a part of this crowd that does this sort of things. But even viewing pornography on their devices in classes, they're allowed to have devices, or playing games that occurs in classes. The way they talk to girls in the corridors and the playgrounds is really having a terrible effect on girls' self-esteem and girls' understanding of life when they're hearing this sexualized commentary in the playground. That is degrading of our girls, and this is occurring in our schools right now. So this sort of thing going on, as you said, is definitely sexual harassment, and the boys and girls may not understand what it is, but it's definitely occurring.
So I guess the question has been kind of depressing all the way through in many ways. But what do we do from here? Because we seem to have this problem at the moment where there's this, and I'm going to say it's toxic masculinity, because if anyone steps out of line of the current social script, they're shoved back in and said, don't be a dog, don't step out of line with what is accepted as cool at the moment. And also I'd say it's rape culture in many ways, and that we've actually taken the idea of consent and we've basically tossed it out, because people are coming across sexualized experiences in their day-to-day lives, and these kids are coming across sexualized experiences all the time in their day-to-day lives, and teachers are coming across it as well. And so then there's actually a consent problem that exists right from the outset, and it's created this expectation that sex is just an expectation. It's not a thing that is to be kept in a space that is, I'm going to say godly to sound like a pastor, but to in a much healthier space. It's just something that's expected wherever people are. So what do we do about this? Because we're seeing and we're experiencing all of this stuff every single day, but yeah, where do we go from here?
And I think that number one, we as parents need to take back the reins of what it means to be a parent, and also realize that we have to actively parent in this online space, whether it's a mobile phone or an iPad or a computer. If you say, "Oh, well, I don't understand that," well, we need to understand that the internet's been around for quite a few years now, since probably almost before you were born, Andrew. And we need to understand that we need to be across that, need to be aware of it as a parent, and understand what it means to parent in the digital space.
And the digital space isn't new. The internet, just for a thing, was actually started in 1983, is considered the official birthday of the internet,
So it
which is
is
not,
older than you, Andrew.
yeah, by a long time. Basically, that's when the transfer control protocol began. But anyway, that was a very small thing. It wasn't until about mid
And
90s that it became
smartphones
common.
not long after that.
Well, smartphones truly began really with the iPhone. The thing is that it's not new. These kids have grown up with the ability to have an iPad their entire lives, with a phone their entire lives. In fact, for many of them, they don't know how to use an actual computer that well, but they know how to use a phone and an iPad extremely well. And a lot of these kids know more about technology than their parents, which is kind of confronting. But there are now extremely effective parental control, I'm going to call it, well, it's what it is called, measures in built into all of these devices that parents can utilize, and they can view what their kids have actually been using. And if you've got an iPhone, you can use what's called family sharing, and you can actually limit the time that your kid spends on every single one of these apps. And yes, you can say kids will find a way around it, but it's about setting barriers and having those conversations with kids and saying, hey, this is a boundary. And you are doing something wrong if you cross over that boundary. And the other thing that I think a lot of parents are going to or already need to grapple with is if they want their kids to know a healthy sexuality, a healthy boundaries on how to treat others, and have a decorum that is relatively, what's a good word for that? A nice decorum when it comes to the world.
Yep.
They actually have to start educating their kids in all of those things. It's going to sound wild before they go to school. Before kindy, you have to start the conversations.
The birds and the bee talk is happening a lot sooner these days than when I was a kid or when you were a kid. Because I'd rather the kids hear it from me or mum than from finding out this stuff online. And yeah, by the time they're school age, they're going to be finding this out in the playground, if not on their own device from a mate's device. And that's going to happen. So we as parents need to have conversations sooner and often than ever before.
So
and
parents are going to say that they're too busy to have those conversations. There's not enough time. When should parents be having these conversations? When's the time that parents can create to create those conversations?
Yeah, they need to have these conversations in the car on the way to school or when the child asks. And my daughter used to ask quite interesting, funny questions fairly young in life, and we as parents need to be not embarrassed by those conversations, but to embrace those conversations and be honest and answer those questions and give the child enough information for their age. And as I said, we earn the right to speak into our child's life at the age of 16 when we've spoken and played and spent time with our children in the years leading up to that age. So children spell love as T-I-M-E, and we can't expect to just take a phone off a child at the age of 16 if we haven't had all those conversations and built a relationship in the years leading up to that age.
Yeah, I came across a stat recently when I was preparing for a sermon series that there's only 30% of Australian families that are having a meal together at the family table.
Yeah.
So maybe creating a ritual as well where you can have those conversations even over a family dinner. Creating a space where you're not separate but you're together, devices are away, and these conversations and these queries about what these kids are experiencing are going to come out, and it will give parents the ability. I'm not a parent yet, but the ability to speak into those spaces as well.
Yeah. While our kids are connected online, the reality is they're actually disconnected more than ever before from each other and from their mates, but also from their parents. So things like you said, the meals, the drive time, dating your son and your daughter, spending time talking is now more important than ever before. And children find security in those connections with their parents. They want to spend time with their parents. So
absolutely,
we need to find the time to be there. I think the problem we have at this school today, being mentioned in the news, is some sandstone school on the North Shore, is that number one, the kids have got a mobile phone early. Number two, the parents are often busy earning the money to pay the school fees to spend the time with their kids. And so that's a dangerous mix. The boys are allowed to be to their own devices and have these devices in their rooms and bathrooms. And so we need to realise that we have some rules, don't allow the phone in the bedrooms, don't allow the devices in the bathrooms. Have the best mainframe money can buy and have it in a central spot where your kids are online, you see what they're doing, and you've got that relationship. So if they come across something that is wrong, that is, as you said, what we're talking about today with this culture and this raunch culture, they have a strong enough relationship with you that they're more than happy to sit down and talk to you about it. Because often having that conversation about what they've seen immediately reduces the long-term effect of what they've seen on their brain. So that's interesting.
Yeah, to be able to place it into context and to turn it into what's real, what's not. And yeah, absolutely. So As we come towards a close, I want us to be able to share some resources with people because we've given a whole heap of information. We've given some tips, but what are some resources that people can access about this? I think I might start off with technology. Look up on YouTube how to set up family sharing, how to set up parental controls, and they will have some great tips on how to manage what kids can access. You can even age gate content as well if you feel like you need to. And be aware that things like YouTube Kids, there's not just kids content on YouTube Kids. Things slip through the filters in the algorithms. And also be aware of the age of legal responsibility when it comes to these things. Kids can't legally be on these social media platforms until they're 13. If your kid is 12, 11, 10, and they're on any of these social media platforms, they're actually not meant to be. And while we don't know where the legal responsibility lies yet in terms of what kids are accessing at that age on those platforms, but legally they're not meant to be on there according to the agreement that you've agreed to through your child for them to be on that platform.
Yeah.
Some other resources. What are some other good resources? I know you've mentioned David Gillespie's book, but what else is out there at the moment?
Brain is worth a read. Also, I've written a couple of books that summarise the current research. If you go to disciple.org.au, yes, there's one there, Children, Porn and Devices. Another one, I think it's called, I don't know what it's called now, but Families and Technology,
yes.
It's called. They both need updating soon because, as I said, it's changing all the time. I'm about to update both of those.
I was looking at them and they're starting to get out of date because our social media landscape has changed that quickly.
Yeah, so I plan to re-edit those shortly. But yeah, they will be updated on disciple.org.au. Go to children and go to resources and you'll find a whole heap of booklets there on a variety of topics, including those two, to help you as a parent negotiate in a short form of what is happening and what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
But also join Collective Shout, where you got people like Melinda Tankin-Reist and her offsider Daniel
Principe.
Yeah, they spend most of the time in our schools talking to our girls and boys about this stuff, and it's amazing the conversations they have, not during but after, when the girls come up and especially and say this is what they've experienced. So Collective Shout is there to help stamp out this sort of stuff happening right across our shopping centres and online. And they're a group that said that we can stand up and shout together and help stop this from occurring. So there's an active way to get involved and know what's happening. They're all over what's happening around the country in Australia, and also some great ideas on how we can stop it.
Awesome. I think that's a good summary of where we're at the moment. Look, this issue, it's only going to, I think, intensify over the next little while. And we are going to see our people influenced by this content. But as parents, and even as a wider community, you're hearing this, and if you're not a parent, but you're a grandparent, you also have a responsibility to be able to have those conversations with your grandkids as well, and be aware of what's going on in their world. And if you're in a community where you've got young kids, it's great to be aware and important to be aware of all of this stuff and to look out for the effects of it, to be able to address it with those kids as well. Yep. It sounds like a really daunting task, but our teachers are doing it every single day. Our chaplains are doing it. Counselors are doing it. But it can be your sports clubs, your churches, whatever it is. But this is what's happening and it's where we're at.
Have the conversation and collectively shout together to you, Melinda Tankers. Sorry, Melinda. My final challenge to parents is hold off buying your child a mobile phone as long as possible. The good old Nokia, remember the good old Nokias that just had
the 3110 is back and it's got 4G access.
Yep. So you can buy your kids a phone. It doesn't have to be a smartphone. And I'd say hold off until year 9 or 10 if you can, when they probably need it for school. But once they do get a mobile phone, make sure there is a tech agreement and there are boundaries in place, there are punishments in place, and you abide by those as a parent and lean into your child rather than lean away, especially when it comes to tech.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think this is a conversation that inevitably we'll come back to in different ways as well. And I think we've just given a brief but great summary today on the soapbox. And if you want to read more, you can look at my dad's Darren's social media, Facebook. There's plenty of soapboxes about things like this. And this podcast, I don't know. I think it should be a fairly not. I don't think we're going to be able to do it every week because we're both very busy. But when there are things that we do want to talk about, we will. Get together and have a conversation, and I hope that together we can achieve awareness around things like this, and whether it's theology or culture or sociology or anything in between, I'm sure we'll have some great conversations. So if you want to get in touch with us, we're both online, you can find us, and you can talk to us there about this topic. If you want to get more resourcing for this, you can check the show notes. We'll have the Collective Shout resources there and the disciple.org resources there as well. And is there anything final that you want to say, Dad?
I guess my final point is be the parent. It's now challenging being a parent more than ever. Because we need to be across this space, but be the parent, be there for child, and remember, children spell love as T-I-M-E. Connect with your child, date your child, know your child, have regular conversations, and this will come up, and you can guide your children in how to be responsible and appropriate online.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time. Thanks, Dad, for taking time out of your after-school period. And over and out. Till the next time.
Catch you later.